ask Brother Albert Schwab to open this service with prayer.
Dear kind and loving Heavenly Father, the designer and creator of all things in the universe, hallowed be thy name. Dear Father, as we bow before thee at the throne of grace, we do thank thee for all thy blessings, for all thy gifts, and for all the benevolence that thou hast shown towards us. We thank thee for the gift of thy dear Son Jesus, that through his sacrifice all things are possible. And we do thank thee for this privilege we can come to thee and commune with thee through this medium of prayer. We do thank thee for the beauties of the truth, dear Father. We thank thee for the privilege we have to walk in this narrow way. And we do thank thee for the truth that thou hast given to us. We do thank thee for all the promises that helps us, encourages us along in this narrow way to prove more faithful to thee. And now, dear Father, we do ask thee to bless each head bowed before thee now, also to bless Brother Bennett as he breaks the word of life to us and guides our thoughts. We do ask thee to be with all thy dear children the world over, the ones that are going through special trials at this time, dear Father, and also to remember the ones that seek an extra special remembrance and prayer. Grant them a greater measure of thy Holy Spirit, dear Father, and a greater measure of peace. Forgive us where we come short, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do we have the microphones? Okay, Brother Matthew is going to... Oh, Brother Richard's going to take one. And Brother Darren. Okay. Okay, I had asked Brother Matthew earlier, and that's what I was wondering. Okay, all right, got it. Okay. Looks like you're off the hook, Brother Matthew. So we have Brother Richard Gronsky and Brother Darren Hankey is going to be our carrying the roving microphones for the study. And I'm not going to waste any time. I'm turning it over to Brother Robert Bennett, which all of you know, and we look forward to the study. So the Lord bless you, Brother Robert.
Well, good morning, brethren. I hope you've enjoyed the study so far. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about hearing from the brethren and what they have to say about these precious promises and this present inheritance. As it's been noted, we've got two microphones, and we're giving control of who, you know, raises their hand and who gets picked to the gentleman holding the microphone. So get their attention rather than my attention, and they'll pick, and that way we'll have one on one side and one on the other side. We'll try and keep it moving as quickly as possible rather than waiting for them to get to the person. We've got the screen up here, and we're going to use that on the second question. It's not actually a test. Okay. Before I get started, I wanted to bring the love and greetings of the Salem brethren. Most of them are here, but there were a few that stayed behind. Our first question is, the word inheritance implies something of value. Of what value is the present inheritance of the new creation? And we're going to read just one of the scriptures that are given there, Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. So what value is our present inheritance? What does it do for us? Sister Betty.
It is a legacy of priceless value, and it is the rich fellowship with God. And the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. How much, how valuable that is to us is how do we measure how valuable is peace, love, hope, faith, and joy, a sense of safety and security in the Lord? Well, it is proportionate to our faith in the promises, that the ability to believe that. And I think maybe we can measure the value by the intensity of our earnest desire to bring the Lord honor and to magnify He and the Son.
Okay, so its value is proportioned to our estimation of it. Okay. Thank you. Sister Linda.
It allows us to have wisdom and liberty to make choices that will make our calling and election sure. For example, no fear allows choice, and faith helps us to see the future and keep focused.
Okay, so it allows us to make our calling and election sure. That's sort of what that Acts 20, verse 32 said. It builds us up. Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts? Brother Lou? I think we need to raise our hands high so they can be seen.
I'd say that it's something that we look forward to in the future. And with the present things also, but... In First Peter, it talks about to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then incorruptible means it can't decay or corrupt. It's preserved forever.
Thank you. You know, if we think of inheritance in a secular way, you know, we think that, well, Aunt Mabel died and left me a bunch of money, or some family heirloom, or something like that. You know, other ways that we think of this word inheritance is we inherit. I inherited blue eyes from my parents. It's a genetic trait. I might inherit a project at work from some other employee. This word is used in different ways. Why? I mean, how does that apply to this present time and our building up of this new creature? Good. Sister Judy.
Well, when you were mentioning those things that we inherit or possessions that we might get from a relative who's passed on or whatever, I thought about the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Okay. And Jehovah has this peace in the supreme sense that he knows everything is under control. So if we've inherited this from him already, this peace of God, then we, regardless of what happens to us or around us or to those that we love, we still are able to maintain this peace of heart and mind and being so that we know everything is in God's hands. It's all under control, regardless of what happens, inside or outside, what battles we're fighting or whatever. We know we have this peace of God that all is well.
Thank you. I have to save that thought for the next question, too. Sister Rosalie.
Well, Brother Robert, I, too, saw this question from that viewpoint of the meaning of the word inheritance. And it comes to mind that the genetic character is transmitted from parent to offspring. And so we have a few scriptures about that from John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this is the inheritance we receive from the Heavenly Father. This is the beginning of this new creation. Another one, Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we go on. But there's a couple other aspects to this. It's like our portion, our birthright, our heritage.
Yeah.
And a couple texts for that. Psalm 16:5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. Or Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So the Heavenly Father is our part, that we have part with him. Hitting on the note that Sister Betty did, the legacy is something handed down from an ancestor or a predecessor of the past. And I'd liken the Hebrews 1:1-2, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
Thank you. I did especially enjoy that thought of if we're inheriting a characteristic from our Heavenly Father, well, we're inheriting his character, you know. Isn't that wonderful? We'll take one more comment, and then we'll need to move on to our next question. Brother Darren, we have Brother Ed up in the front here.
I think one of the most enabling things that we have inherited is the covering merit of our Lord and the associated begettal that comes with it and the privilege of communion with the Father and the Son. And that's what the Apostle John was highlighting as a blessing to us in 1 John 1, 3, and 4. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That's the joy of our present existence, the privilege of fellowship with the brethren and with the Father and the Son.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Ed. On our next question, next two questions, we're going to have a little fun here. We're going to make a list of just exactly what our inheritance consists of. We're taking an inventory. And this first question, we're not going to spend too much time discussing it. What we'd like to do is just give us an item and a scripture to support it. Now, that's important. You can't give me an item without a scripture to support it. And then in the third question, we'll come back to that list and we'll discuss them and ask what good they are. I'm going to start. I'll demonstrate this by offering the first suggestion. I'm going to say we have the Holy Spirit of adoption. And I'm going to use the scripture of Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And Sister Bonnie is going to type that on our screen. So we'll have that, and we'll get a printout of that to the brethren a little bit later. And then I'm going to say, well, we want to organize this list a little bit. So I'm going to organize it. I'm going to put a subtitle on there of the Holy Spirit, because there are various ways that we can look at the Holy Spirit, and somebody else might have another one. So with that, we're going to open it up to the brethren. What would you like to put on our list?
The Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Uh-huh. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs of God with Christ. So that's also Holy Spirit working through us and in us.
Yeah. You know, that also could be classified. We had another classification we were thinking of the family of God. And so maybe we'll put that one under that. Because that works well with that we're children of God.
Okay. We are.
Oh, go ahead.
We are born of Him. And this is 1 John 2, verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him.
Okay. Thank you. And Brother Darren, I'm sorry, you had Brother Bill.
Supervision and instruction, and for that, Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus.
Thank you. You know, for that one, I had thought of a subtitle of Watch Care. And that fits well with that, supervision. I like that. So maybe Bonnie will put that in there. Okay. Sister Rosemary.
I like the word hope. We have great hope. And in the sixth volume on page 660 to 666, that word hope was used 25 times, so I know it's really important. Okay. And I like the scripture of Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it?
Thank you. Let's put that one under the category of fruits and graces of the Spirit. Okay. Who do we have next? Brother Jerry?
I was thinking this may come under resurrection hope or prospect, but I think it's something that applies to our present inheritance. Hope of change at death. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 52, and Revelation 14, 13. This is something that only exists since our Lord's return.
Okay. Thank you. Why don't we, let's do a category of precious promises, and we'll stick that one under that. Brother, looks like Sister Joy.
Taking his testimonies, Psalms 119, 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart.
Okay, so by testimonies, we're really talking about the Word of God, aren't we? Okay, so let's make a category of the Word of God. Okay. Brother Steve.
Okay. Along with that last one, present truth, as 2 Peter 1:12 says, being established in the present truth. And we could add a few other scriptures, talking about the great feast of Luke 12, 36 through 37, and Revelations 2, 20.
Okay, terrific. Could you please repeat the scripture, the first one?
Yes, absolutely. 2 Peter 1, 12, and also Luke 12, 36 and 37, and Revelations 2, 20. And there's one more, too. Meet in due season, Matthew 24, 45 through 47.
Okay, thank you. Brother Richard, or I'm sorry.
Sister Lori.
Sister Lori.
We have the privilege of being aliens and strangers in this world. And I have 1 Peter 2:11 and Hebrews 13:14. Okay. And what the world offers right now is uncertainty, and even Christendom offers fear and confusion. And so we can be thankful that we don't belong to this world right now.
That's good. What should we put that under? Why don't we put it under, let's make a new category of, say, trials and testings, and giving away a future question, but that's okay. I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Sister Jan.
Sister Jan.
Yes, and I have peace. I know it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, but we are in a world where there is no peace, but yet we have that. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I think that's something that is very, very special that the world doesn't have, that we do have, and that's a part of our inheritance, knowing, you know, God's plan.
Yeah, that's a great one. Can we put that under, what did we have, fruits and graces? Sister Barbara.
Chosen generation, royal priesthood, 1 Peter 1:2. Electing according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied.
Well, that's a good one. I don't quite know where to put it. How about under the family of God? We need to... Okay. Sister Judy.
Well, this question has to do with conditions necessary to claim this inheritance. Is that right?
Not exactly. This one, it has to do with what is that inheritance?
Well, okay. Okay, well, what is that inheritance? Is the Holy Spirit, of course.
Okay.
And in order to claim that, we have to profess consecration, Romans 12, 1. And then, because we've done that, then what does he hand to us? He hands us a promissory note. It's, this is what I'm giving you. Not only in the future, but now you have the blessings of this Holy Spirit now. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit.
Yeah. I'm going to reword your just a little tiny bit. let's put it under the Holy Spirit and just call it justification. Is that fair? Brother Richard.
Is it me you're looking at?
Yes, okay. Sister Donna.
Okay. The privilege of prayer, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Okay. Sister Rosemary?
I think this would go under providences. Okay. It's Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are they called according to his purpose.
Right. So under watch care then. Sister Betty.
The love of the Father and the Son. John 17:23, Jesus tells us we're loved as the Father loves him.
Yeah.
And John 15:9, the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye my love. And I know you're not doing reprint numbers, but can I just throw in a quick little thought on that?
Okay.
35:46, that if we would fully understand that we're loved in this way, that we would neither need to wish nothing to fear, our summer would last all the year.
Thank you. Okay, we need to slow down a minute for our list maker. What do you need?
I need the scriptures from the last one.
Sister Betty, your scriptures?
John 17:23 and 15:9.
Okay, and that goes under the family, the love of God.
We have a newness of life. We have passed from death in Adam to life in Christ. So we're walking in newness of life. Romans 6:4, and it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Okay. That's another good one. Where should we put that one? Under Holy Spirit for spirit of, you know, the new life? Or is, you had another thought?
Probably under family would be good, because okay, it's we're in a new family now. We're not in Adam's family any longer.
Then let's put it under family then. Okay. We need to switch up here. Sister Rachel.
I had 2 Timothy 2:15, to study thyself approved unto God. And also I had 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
We've got two different ones, though, here. So your first one was the...
To study.
Plan. That's the word of God.
Right.
Okay, and we'll put your second one under the family. Okay, fellowship. Okay. Are you okay, Mom?
Just a minute.
Okay.
Power. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And also for that one, for power, is 2 Corinthians 10:4.
Okay, that really, that's the Holy Spirit again. That's a sense of the Holy Spirit, of the spirit of a sound mind, the spirit of power. Okay, hang on for a second. Sister Linda, your scriptures again.
2 Timothy 1:7. And 2 Corinthians 10:4.
Two Corinthians. All right. We're our speed is limited to the speed of the typist. Okay. Sister Rosalie.
Well, we have the privilege of coming up to the perfect mark of love, which is also a fruit.
Yeah.
And in Colossians 3:14 it says, and above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness.
Okay, so another fruit of the Spirit. Sister Irina.
We have an advocate. 1 John 2:1.
Yeah, been waiting for that one.
Would you like me to read that scripture?
Sure.
My little children, this thing write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Thank you. And that one would probably go under prayer. Access to the throne of grace. All right. Well, we have a new category then. Hang on for a second, though. Let me know when you're ready. Okay. Go ahead, Sister Andrea.
Okay. We have fullness of joy, or joy unspeakable. And that's Psalm 16:11 and also 1 Peter 1:8.
Okay. And that's a great one to put under the fruits and graces of the Spirit.
I missed the
underline. Joy. Joy, yes.
Be able to serve the living God.
And Joy happened to be the next speaker, too. Okay.
I missed that.
I'm sorry, Sister Joy.
Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good work.
Okay, so which category should we put that under? Shall we put it under, it could actually fall into a couple of ones, you know, being zealous of good work, or we could deal with the redemption part.
Family.
Family? Okay. Peculiar people under family. And we have, go ahead, Sister Barbara.
Twofer, I guess, the family group. 2 Corinthians 6:18. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Okay, a couple of great ones for family. Go ahead, Brother Tim.
Romans 1, verse 7. We're to be saints to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where to put that one.
Family.
Okay. I was sort of thinking of sanctification, but family works good too. Okay, Brother Bill.
This may go under the Word of God. From the Word of God, we gain purpose and motive. And two texts to go with that. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And 2 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of souls.
Thank you. Sister Rosemary?
This is under prayer, because we have the privilege of prayer that the world does not have at this time. And it's Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.
Thank you. Sister Dion?
We have the privilege of understanding the mystery of this high calling. And that's found at 1 Peter 1:10-12, where the angels desired to look into this mystery, and the prophets talked about it but didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And then also another scripture would be 1 Corinthians 2:7, 8, and 16.
Yeah. You know, let's put that one under the Holy Spirit, spiritual understanding. Sister Erlene.
And I think this one would go under the Word of God. It is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Thank you. Who do we have? Sister Laurie.
God will grant us his wisdom when we ask for it. And the scriptures, I have Psalm 111:10, James 1:17, and Proverbs 4:7.
Thank you. Should we put that one under prayer as asking for, you know? Okay. Brother Lou.
Under trials and testing, filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ.
Okay.
Colossians 1:24. And also under, I guess it would be under direction or in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:6.
Okay, that would be watch care.
Watch care.
Yeah. Okay. Do we need... Direct the paths. Okay. I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Ruth.
Ruth.
Romans 8:15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And I was thinking spirit of adoption for that one also.
Yeah, that, we could also put that one in family too, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But let's put it in the up with the Holy Spirit of adoption. Okay, Sister Joy.
Brother Robert, I don't know about the rest of Brennan, but this is so thrilling to know we have all this inheritance. It just warms my heart. But I was thinking of our Father.
Yeah.
And in Psalms 48:14, for this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. And yeah. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Yeah.
Wonderful, isn't it?
That's a good one for family, isn't it? And you know what, Sister Joy? The list that we make today, it's just going to be a small fraction of what is out there. Sister Donna.
Fellowship. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Okay, well, we have a repeat. I'm sure that that will happen. Who do we have up next? Sister Barbara?
I don't know where this would go. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you.
Okay, so that's a promise for a family promise, a place in his family. Okay. Would you repeat the scripture, please, Sister Barbara?
John 14:2.
Thank you. Brother Steve.
One that especially touched me, one of the sisters mentioned this during our study previously, Sister Irina, the abiding presence of God. And there's many scriptures along this line, one of which is John 14:23. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Yeah.
Similar ones, John 15:7 and 15:9-10. There's many others.
Yeah, that's another one that would fit into many categories. But let's put it under watch care, his abiding presence over us. Okay, Sister, Brother Steve, you had a thought.
Well, I think it could actually go under this thought of Jehovah being our inheritance, in a way. Numbers 18:20, possibly. Yeah. Okay. Just a thought. Or that could go under the same category as this.
It's your choice. You know, I mean, this is not my list. This is our list. Okay.
Wherever she puts it, it'll be fine.
Okay. Well, then we'll leave it up to Sister Bonnie.
Was it Job 18:20?
Job 18:20 was the scripture.
Numbers 18:20 okay. is the scripture. Yeah.
Thank you. Lost track, Sister Rosemary.
I think this would go under strength. He gives us unending strength to walk with him. And it's Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Okay, rest, the idea of rest. I'm sorry, where did you say we should put this?
Well, I was thinking it gives us strength because he's pulling most of the load, you know.
Okay.
Probably under trials and testing.
Trials and testings? Okay, that will work. Brother Dan.
So one of them is we have the privilege of being his our Lord's espoused bride. 2 Corinthians 11:2, he says, "For I have espoused you to one husband," and Revelation 19:9, talking about the marriage. And a second item is we have the present time, the consecrated who have maybe unconsecrated spouses and children, they have the privilege of having their children sanctified under their consecrations. And we have 1 Corinthians 7:14, which says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy."
Yeah. Obviously, a bride is part of the family. So why don't we put it under family? Could you repeat the scripture?
1 Corinthians 7:14.
Okay. Who do we have? Sister Andrea.
He quickens our mortal body. That's Romans 8:11. I don't know where you'd put that on.
Let's see. Holy Spirit? Okay. Sister Betty?
Freedom from divine condemnation, or we might call it liberty of Christ. Galatians 5:1.
Okay, that fits under the thought of justification, too. Okay, so maybe the Holy Spirit, again, with that one? Okay. Could you repeat the scripture?
Galatians 5:1.
I guess, justification.
Okay,
Jerry.
I think there was a section under the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
This goes with eating from His table or supping with Him. Revelation 3:20. We sup with Him and He with us, and also Hebrews 13:10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. So eating with Him. Revelation 3:20 and Hebrews 13:10.
We should put that one under the Word of God.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking if you're looking at this list and you want to add a scripture to maybe something that already exists, then that would save Sister Bonnie a little bit of typing. Okay. Sister Dion.
Which is able to quench all the fiery darts of that wicked one out there. And so what an inheritance that is.
Yeah, the armor of God. Now, would you put that under His watch care over us, or would you put it under maybe the Word of God?
I would put it under the watch care.
Okay. Could you repeat the scripture, please?
It would be in Ephesians. It would be 6:13 through 17.
Yeah. And the armor would go under, easily under trials and testings also.
Yes, yes. So wherever is handiest.
Yeah. Do we want to put multiple scriptures under? No. Okay, let's just keep it with one then. Then leave it there. Okay.
Brother Robert, I was thinking, we have the privilege of being comforters now. A couple scriptures, one from Isaiah 61:1. Of course, we know that. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And also from 2 Corinthians 1:7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation.
Yeah. Who are we encouraging, though, right now?
Well, we're encouraging the brethren with that last one there, and then we have the privilege of comforting the world and any whom we meet that of the hope of the kingdom.
So maybe we'll put it under family?
The second one there, the 2 Corinthians 1:7, yeah.
Okay.
And the other one we could put under, I don't know, assisting the world. We have the privilege of doing that,
yeah.
Both now and then in the kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Any thoughts?
Sure, Liz.
All right. Assisting the world, and we'll leave it under family also, because eventually they'll become home. Right. Okay. What do we have? Sister Joy?
Well, I was thinking to add another scripture to Sister Rosalie's. Could I? 2 Corinthians 1:4? She skipped over it to 1:7, but who comfort us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God.
Thank you. Sister Donna?
Perspective, heavenly vantage point, Isaiah 33:17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the Lamb that is far off.
Yeah, that sort of goes under Holy Spirit for spiritual understanding. Thank you. Sister Irina.
We have the privilege of wearing the robe of righteousness, mm-hmm. Isaiah 61:10.
Yeah. We could almost have made a separate category of justification and sanctification, couldn't we? Okay. Why don't you put it up with the Holy Spirit and
61:10.
61, sorry.
Put it up with justification. Okay, who do we have next? Brother Lou.
How about the spirit of sound mind?
Yeah, I believe that one was mentioned already.
And then how about suffering with him? Reign with him.
Okay.
2 Timothy 2:12.
2 Timothy 2:12 under trials and persecutions, or trials and testing. Okay. Sister Dion.
Under watch care, all of Psalms 91.
Okay, well, that's a great one.
Yeah. And then we have inherited a guardian angel to watch over us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is also within that psalm.
Thank you. Sister Ruth.
Being a new creation, Ephesians 4:23-24, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Okay. Where should we put that one? Family? Being a new creation?
Family.
Okay, I heard a couple of families. Why don't we put it there? Sister Joy.
Brother Robert, I think this is a present inheritance. It sure is to me. The joy of knowing salvation for all. And the second, or 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
That's actually a good one. But you know what? I had the same thought. I had it under the Word of God in the sense of understanding the divine plan. And so why don't we put it there?
Okay. Scripture?
Your scripture, Sister Joy?
1 Timothy 2:4.
Okay. Sister Laurie?
Knowledge.
Okay.
We have the privilege of knowing God's character and his plan, and we know who Jesus is and why he died.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 2:14.
Yeah, that all falls under that word of God that actually we could put it under spiritual understanding also. Okay, we'll put it under word of God then. Okay. Brother Steve.
One of our inheritances that's especially special is the blessing of giving. That's something we've inherited. Our Heavenly Father gives. And we're given the privilege of giving, not only now, but in the future.
Thank you. Scripture, please.
Scripture, Acts 20, verse 35. It's more blessed to give than to receive.
Thank you.
20, yeah.
Why don't we take one or two more, and then we'll wrap up our list.
I need to know what blessing of giving
How about under family? Okay. Sister Barbara.
I don't know where this would go, but Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Okay. Why don't we put that under fruits and graces of the Spirit for joy? We need to pause for just one moment while Sister Kathy turns the tape over. Okay. Go ahead, Sister Rosa. Oh, wait a minute. We all right? Okay, Sister Rosemary.
Did we have under the spirit of forgiveness, the Lord forgives us our sins?
Yeah.
Did they give Psalm 32:1?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, we haven't done that one yet.
Okay.
That's actually a good one. Let's put that under prayer.
Okay.
Because we have access to the throne of grace for forgiveness.
Okay.
Okay.
So it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, Sister Erlene.
I'm not sure exactly which category we might place this, but it's such a beautiful scripture. Ephesians 3:16-20, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yeah. That's probably in about four different categories, but let's put it under the Holy Spirit, a spiritual understanding. Why don't we take Sister Dion, and then we'll close our list.
Under prayer, we could put James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So it's an inheritance that we can pray for one another and be heard.
Thank you. Privilege of prayer. Okay. We could go on all day long with this. You know, there's no doubt about that. But we have a very good, you know, representation of that present inheritance right now. Now what we'd like to do is go to question 3. Let's look at what's on that list. And let's ask the question, how does it help you in the narrow way? What's God's purpose in giving you that item on that list? You know, how does it strengthen you? How does it encourage you? If we said that the value of a present inheritance is that it builds up the new creature, well, how so? Sister Judy.
I think first and foremost, it gives us the goal to which we need to strive.
Okay.
Because if you don't have the goal in sight, you'll never reach it. You won't know what you're striving for.
So which one of the list would you be asking?
I'll let someone else decide that.
Okay. Sister Betty.
This isn't on Sister Judy's. I had on the family category that close acquaintance and communion with the Father, coming to know them both, the oneness there, the aspects of the divine family. We discover the goodness of the Father, how willing he is to help us, how close we can come to him. And that is our source of strength, leaning on him, trusting in him. So that acquaintance, knowing who he is, how much we can trust him, how good he is, and then trying to reflect those same characteristics to others is so key in our walk.
Thank you. Brother Dan.
Under the espoused bride, in volume 6, page 682-683, he says, the new creation as the espoused bride of Christ, having surrendered heart and tongue and every power and energy to its Lord and his service, may reasonably and gratefully accept from him the blessings, privileges, protection, supervision, and gifts which he has been pleased to promise to it as his espoused bride.
Thank you. Brother Walt.
in the family area after 2 Corinthians 6:18 comes 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
So again, with the idea of building us up and making us ready for that kingdom. Thank you. Sister Rosemary.
This is like three parts, how we walk and have strength and courage. Wonder walk, I think. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's 1 John 1:7. And also there's 1 John 2:6 and 3 John 1:4. They all have to do with walk.
Okay, thank you. Who have we got back in the... Sister Lori?
Okay. For knowledge, I was thinking that it having the knowledge of our Heavenly Father and His plan helps us. Well, first of all, there's another scripture that says that knowledge puffs up. So we can be so thankful that the knowledge that He reveals to us, we can thank Him for it. We don't take any credit ourselves. And then it helps us in our walk because... we make an informed decision when we give our heart to Him. We have an understanding of what we're doing. It's not an emotional response. It's not based on fear. It's knowledge of God's character and our Lord, and that we want to be more like Him and walk in His footsteps.
Yeah, and that helps us, what do I want to say? That knowledge is not something... the knowledge that we see, you know, in front of us, but the understanding of the divine plan, so that we're making decisions not based on the chaos around us, but based on the outcome. Thank you. Sister Dion.
In Psalms 91, it gives me much strength, and it encourages me to know that it says, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust, and His word or His truth shall be my shield and buckler, that our help comes from Him that created heaven and earth. And then in Romans 8 and verse 31, which was Brother Dan's promise in our ecclesia, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So if we have God walk, I mean, our Lord is right there all the time. We just need to keep our hand in His and not let go, and He'll continue to strengthen and encourage us through all these experiences.
Thank you. What do we have next? Brother Bill.
This comment touches so many, I can't put it under any one category, but... as we are acquainted and gain knowledge of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit enlightens our minds, we realize that our highest motive is to bring glory and honor to the Heavenly Father. And I think that's part of His purpose of giving us the understanding. And from there, we want to be developed by our experiences so that we can be invisible agents in granting eternal life to the world of mankind, that they in turn might know and glorify the Heavenly Father.
So we're actually become part of that plan, become agents in the plan. Thank you. Sister Joy?
Well, I was thinking that it really shows us what the earnest of our inheritance is to have His presence with us, His approval, His care over us, and it always be on our shield, and it helps us to live above the storm clouds and soar above the storm clouds and live in such an altitude of Christian character that we can thank Him and rejoice in whatever experience He gives us.
Yeah. So that peace is really for our benefit in this time, so that we don't get caught up in, you know, what's going on around us. Thank you. Brother Adam.
As a follow-up to the discussion on peace, you know, we have John 14:27, which shows how this is our inheritance, because Here he's leaving it as a legacy. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's John 14:27. And with that peace, we have the peace with God and the peace of God. Both mentioned, one mentioned in Philippians 4:7 and the other in Romans 5:1. Now, in reprint 54:32, he says, the peace of God rules the heart, even amid turmoil and trouble. It is an inward tranquility and rest, which is the direct result of a close personal relationship of the soul with God. It is the peace of God because it is a peace that God only can give, a peace which only His own can fully know.
Thank you. So it does give us, you know, that peace and encouragement, you know, to know these things so that we might walk acceptably unto Him. Thank you. We have Brother Ed.
This would be under the heading of the trials and testings. Maybe Sister Bonnie can scroll down to that. Those scriptures have in mind. But we're appreciating just the brethren's discussion here. Paul's into this, but having this peace in spite of the fact that there are all these trials and testings that are going on. It's really the inner man we're talking about. But we appreciate this category, and especially from the standpoint of how does it help us walk in this narrow way? Well, the Creator of the universe is accomplishing a monumental task in developing a character within the lifetime of a fallen humanity's life that He would be willing to grant the divine nature to. This is incredible. When world mankind will be given hundreds of years. And so, you know, when you think about how this is a present inheritance and how vital it is to this process, what son is he whom the Father chasteneth or disciplineth not? It's necessary. We've got these fallen earthen vessels and all its character and traits. We don't know how to develop a new creature. He would know how under these circumstances. So He uses these to as corrections in this way. They help us to walk properly, as noted. But how does it strengthen and encourage us? Well, it should be a great encouragement because we have the privilege of filling up that which is behind. Paul rejoiced in this fact. The disciples rejoiced to know that they were participating in the sufferings of Christ. That should be a great encouragement. But also of the thought of strengthening us. How does this strengthen us? Not only the privilege of walking this narrow, walking in our Lord's footsteps, and you know this is necessary to developing us. But you know we should take great strength in the thought that God loves us so much that He's going to give us these trials and testings because He wants us to develop that character. Sure. He wants us, and this is what's necessary. So as hard and as difficult as they might be, they can nevertheless be rejoiced in because of the outcome that we can see before us, as well as present effects upon us. We should see a change in our character and be encouraged thereby.
Thank you. And a little further on from the scripture you quoted was, you know, if ye be without chastisements, you know. So therefore, if you have chastisements, then what an encouragement that is. You know, we could turn this around, too. Instead of picking up, we could pick one of these points on the screen and ask, you know, what is it good for? For instance, here we've got aliens and strangers. Why would God want us to be aliens and strangers in this present time? Why would that be important to our development as a new creature? Okay. Brother Jerry.
Brother Robert, a little bit on that point, but also one that covers, I think, all the aspects of inheritance, is a little example from the book of Ruth. In Ruth, the fourth chapter, Naomi had an inheritance that had to be redeemed, and a near kinsman comes to her, comes to Boaz and says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. He had an inheritance that was temporal and a priority to him. But Boaz saw that the inheritance was a better deal. Mm-hmm. And so I think that by the choice of Boaz to purchase all that he had with this inheritance. All these items on the list is a higher standard. Our spiritual inheritances, aren't they? And I think that they help us to put the temporal priorities in perspective so that we do not lean upon them and sacrifice those inheritances for the little temporal preferences. So I think that they, simply said, I think that the spiritual inheritances help us to keep the earthly life in perspective.
Thank you very much. Sister Judy?
Well, you asked how does aliens and strangers, how can that be used and why should we consider ourselves? Why would the Lord want us to consider ourselves aliens and strangers? Well, to separate ourselves from the people of the land. And because these trials and testings that are happening to us aren't really happening to us as new creatures, not to the inner man. Mm-hmm. It's happening to us as human beings. These experiences are happening to us as human beings. They're developing the new creature, but they're only making the new creature stronger. And I picture us here at this point, going back to Brother Jerry's talk, inside the ark. Now we're looking through that little window, which is the only way we can get daylight, we can get truth, mm-hmm. we can get a perspective on how many days have gone by, where we are on the stream of time. We're just looking through that little window, and we're really not worried about what's going on outside of the ark, and we're not really concerned about what's inside because we have that illumination, which scriptures don't give us what it was, but there's no doubt in my mind it wasn't dark in there. It was light. And so we have the light of the Holy Spirit enlightening our minds on what's going on about us. But we are, and we must remain, aliens and strangers.
Seeking a city to come.
Touch lightly the things of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sister Lori?
Well, I'm so thankful to be an alien and stranger here. Satan is the prince of this world right now, mm-hmm. and I don't want to be in his administration. And when I think about the scripture that talks about this, I see my neighbors and people in the world, they're so worried. They're caught up in, we have to end the war. We have to, who are we going to elect to help us? Or even in communities, what are we going to do about the crime in our communities and these things? And they get all worried and caught up in these things. And so I just remember, this is not my land. I'm thankful to live here, but ultimately this is not where I'm going to make my home. And so I just leave it to the Lord, leave it in His care. And if I'm watching the news, I just thank the Lord for the kingdom to come, and then I'm relaxed. I don't have to worry about these things because they're of the world, but I'm a stranger here.
So what you're saying is then that because you're an alien and a stranger, it gives you a peace. Mm-hmm. You can stand on that sea of glass, and it's glass. You can see right through it. Thank you. Sister Rosalie.
Just a scripture to go along with everything we're saying here is from 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Thank you. Sister Rosemary?
And also along that line, Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And I can read a couple more. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Thank you. Let's pick another one off the list here. We've got down here towards the bottom, the privilege of prayer. Why do you suppose our Heavenly Father gave us the privilege of prayer as a present inheritance? What good does that do? Sister Ruth.
Well, we can pray for strength to get through whatever trials are coming at us. Okay. And for understanding of what His will for our lives is. so that we can be more pleasing to our Father.
Okay, thank you. What do we have? Brother Ed.
It's a way for him to test us. Likewise, he expects us to ask.
Okay.
If we don't come to him, then we shouldn't expect to receive anything. So it's a way to demonstrate that true faith and trust in him, the willingness to ask.
Okay, thank you. That's a good point. Sister, I'm not sure where we're at. Go ahead. Sister Sharon.
Oh, thank you, Brother Robert. I was thinking of if we are sons of God then, and he is our Father, then we have communion with him. And so that's why we have that privilege of prayer, is the communion, one between us and our Father. And also, and even though he knows what we're thinking, it's still he wants us to talk to him about it.
Okay. So we actually can divide this up. We have the privilege of prayer, which is a present inheritance, but there are many reasons for it. There's the testing aspect that Brother Ed brought up. There's communion aspect. Is it Sister Dion?
Okay. I was just going to say that without the privilege of prayer, it would be very hard to build a relationship with someone without being able to commune with them. And so he communes with us through the scriptures, and through that, then we commune with him, and then he overrules on our behalf, and he helps us to consider different scriptures in order to live our life. And it's just it's not a one-way situation. It has to be a two-way. That's what prayer is.
Thank you. Sister Linda?
It helps us keep things in perspective, because when you're communicating about something, you think about it more clearly, and I think that helps us keep our trials and our joys and everything in a perspective.
Okay, keeps our focus. Thank you. Sister Evelyn.
I was thinking it's a personal communication. And, you know, the King of the universe allows us to talk to him personally.
Isn't that amazing?
Very precious.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing to be offered entry into to address the creator of the universe? Sister Judy?
And it's also a self-realization, because even though he knows already everything that we need, he wants us to come to the point where we recognize what we need and we ask for it. We ask for help in it. So he could give it to us, but until we're ready for it, it wouldn't do any good.
Reliance on his strength. Thank you. Sister Donna.
A correct dependence. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
Thank you. I've forgotten your name already.
Sister Jan.
It's a privilege that we have, and when we do things and we know we are in the flesh, we know that we have someone that we can ask that forgiveness for. And that, you know, just like if we did something wrong, you know, we went to our parents, or maybe we didn't go to our parents, but we know that it's our privilege and also our responsibility to take that, you know, like, I'm sorry I did this, I really am sorry, or this happened, or something else. So it's a privilege. And that we have, that the world of mankind doesn't have.
Thank you. And that's really a good point. And we can actually take our category and divide it even further and ask, well, what good does asking for forgiveness do? You know, as we walk in this narrow way, I mean, obviously we want to keep the robe white, but is there something about asking for forgiveness that helps us, that encourages us? Brother Lou?
Well, I was thinking, can you imagine raising a child without communication?
Yeah.
It's impossible. You know, how would a child learn, you know, the love and so forth of the father? It's impossible.
Thank you. We have a hand. Sister Rosemary?
I think it keeps us with a tender conscience.
Okay.
You know,
so,
oh, Father, I made a mistake again. You know, it keeps us humble and tender.
That's a good point. Thank you. Sister Dion?
That was my part, that when we recognize our wrong and ask for forgiveness, it like Sister Rosemary said, it takes humility to do that, and so our Father can see our heart in doing that.
Thank you very much. Okay. Brother Dan?
With the privilege of prayer, there's so many other aspects to it. There's a privilege of being thankful. Mm-hmm. We appreciate Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. And Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we have that privilege of praising the Lord for all His goodness and mercies. And when we think about this list that we've just scratched the surface on, and we have many more in our notes, and I know other brethren have many more in their notes, of this present inheritance, how can we not have our hearts full of gratitude and love and praise?
Thank you. It's like we have this treasure chest of things that is this present inheritance that is we're going to use as we walk this narrow way. We're going to daily pull something out and say, this is appropriate for this situation. We have Sister Dion. Oh, I'm sorry, Sister Debbie.
At first, I wanted to make a little comment if I could.
Oh, sure.
I'm not sure what scripture it is, but that one where draw nigh unto the Lord and He draws nigh unto you in prayer, it builds a rapport and trust with the Lord and draws us closer to Him.
Okay, thank you.
James 4:8, okay. Sister Sharon says. Never mind, scratch that.
Sister Debbie?
Well, I also would say going to the Lord, the Heavenly Father, for forgiveness helps us to develop more love for righteousness and a hatred for the sin more and more as we go along, and a more desire to be cleansed of this horrible sinfulness. And so it also develops our faith and appreciation in our Lord's sacrifice and greater love for God and more desire to press on, and because we're thankful. And so I just think of the 1 John 1:9-2. If we can confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need His help for the cleansing. We can't do it on our own. Even developing that character and that more hatred of the sin and more love for righteousness, we can't do it without His help.
Thank you. And that really goes well with what was said before about the keeping the tender, the conscience tender. Sister Judy.
If I could just give a little personal testimony. This past couple of weeks, we've been in consultation with our attorney. You have to get your affairs in order. You have to make sure that everything's done properly, not only for ourselves, but for my mom, too, so that there's no big hassle. When she passes, there's no big deal. But in doing that, you have to make a list of everything you have. Mm-hmm. All your CDs, your bank accounts, all your real property that you own, any big things that you have like that that's going to be in the trust. And all of those things, every single one of them is corruptible. But our inheritance is incorruptible and fadeth not away. Our things last forever. What we have is what I cannot see or you just don't see it with your natural mind. But those things are the real things. That's the real stuff. That's what we want.
Thank you. We have Sister Rosalie over here.
Well, Brother Robert, you asked, why do we go to the Heavenly Father in prayer? I have a little thing I'd like to read from an old convention report. It says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He bows in intense earnestness, for He is going to ask for something important. He proceeds, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man.
He recognizes God as being vastly wealthy in ability to bless. And he's going to ask not for small blessings, but for such great blessings as such a glorious God would be abundantly able to bestow. Such blessings as would be appropriate for one so great to give. The special desire is, however, that God would strengthen with might. That means real power to perform, to be filled with all the fullness of God. If we are filled with the fullness of God, is not that presence sufficient to enable us to be victors? Do we really believe this is possible to us? Again, let us cry out, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to the extent that we let this King of glory, strong and mighty in battle, have sway in our hearts, will be our power to gain the victory.
Thank you. We're going to run out of time here, so we're going to have to move on. But in a little bit, we'll take a break for lunch, and you'll have this entire list to discuss among yourselves. We're going to have it printed out and give people copies, and then we'll use it again in some of the questions that are coming up after lunch. But before we do that, let's just take up question number four, because this is a little bit more technical, but why exactly, or what conditions exactly are necessary for us to claim that present inheritance? What do you have to do? I mean, can just anybody claim that? Or is it special?
Now I'll give you Romans 12:1. Not 1 Corinthians, but Romans 12:1. I present your bodies a living sacrifice. And my son, give me thine heart. So that's the only thing that our Heavenly Father doesn't have. First, he needs our hearts, our consecration, full devotion to him.
Okay, thank you. Sister Dion?
Under the article, the heavenly inheritance, it shows that the condition upon three things would be the sanctification or full consecration of the believer. Number two, the implicit obedience to the divine discipline and teaching. And three, his full reliance upon the precious blood of Christ for cleansing and salvation from sin and death.
Thank you. Sister Barbara?
22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Thank you. Now, you know, after this question got printed and I was working on it, it dawned on me that there's really two ways you can look at this question. You can look at this question of, you know, what conditions are necessary to initially claim these present inheritance. But the other one is, what conditions are necessary to keep claiming those inheritances? Okay, Sister Betty?
I think that what would answer that is the first chapter in John 1. And there John is talking about that he had been with this word of life and touched and handled him, and his joy was full, and he wanted our joy to be full. And the way for that to happen, he said, I want to tell you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if you want to walk in that light, then you have to be obedient to that light and claim the blood of Christ, recognizing you're a sinner, and keep claiming that blood and keep walking in that light. If you say you walk in the light but don't, you lie. So there has to be an obedience factor there and a recognizing of our need of the Son, and thereby we can have the joy that he's talking about.
Thank you. Brother Lou?
Be faithful unto death to grant, get that crown of life.
Okay, Romans 2:10.
Revelation.
I'm sorry, Revelation 2:10. Thank you. Sister Linda?
Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Yeah.
Faith and patience.
Yeah, faith and patience. Diligence in our walk. Thank you. Sister Rosemary?
Well, we know it's total and complete and unconditional consecration, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year,
There's no days off. There's no paid vacation. There's no retirement. It's till the last breath.
I don't know. I kind of like the Heavenly Father's retirement plan, actually. But I understand what you're saying. No, and you're, what you're saying is not consecration in the sense of that single event, but consecration in the sense of living it every day. Thank you. Brother Ed?
I think the example lesson of John 15, the vine and the branches, talks about what's necessary. Mm-hmm. And the fourth verse and on to the seventh or so, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If you're cut off from the sap of the Holy Spirit, the vine that nourishes the branches, you lose everything.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes, staying with it.
Abiding in him. Yeah, thank you very much. We have others. We have Brother Bill.
I think in order to continue to claim these inheritance, a childlike humility and faith is required. And a couple texts to go along with that is Matthew 18:4. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And James 4:10, humble yourselves in the light of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
Thank you. Sister Debbie? Oh.
Yeah. I was thinking of 2 Timothy 2:3-5. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So we need to endure and be obedient and follow the Lord's, all of the Lord's instructions in this, and not be very focused and do this one thing to be faithful.
That cheerful constancy. Thank you. Sister Ruth.
2 Timothy 4:7, fighting the good fight, finishing our course, and keeping the faith is something that we need to be able to make sure that we claim the inheritance.
Yeah, the staying with it until the end. Okay, Sister Lori, then Sister Joy, and then we'll have to close.
Keep under the blood.
Okay, thank you.
Robert, I put this on the wrong list before, so I changed it over. We're still on 4, right?
Yes.
And you mentioned it really belongs to 4, but I was thinking to claim this present inheritance, we need to recognize the value of the ransom, our justification as its necessity for standing before God, our calling and its privilege, our acceptance shown by Spirit Begettel, and then quicken Christ and have Christ formed in us, and obedience to the heavenly calling to the end.
Thank you. Well, dear brethren, we're going to break now for lunchtime, and you have a list, probably more in your notes, of things to discuss over the lunch period to see what our present inheritance is and of what value it is to us. So may the Lord bless you during the lunch hour, and we will see you afterwards for the second half.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Boy, you just hate to stop, don't you? Wow. It caused me to think of this hymn in 324, which says, when all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. After Brother Bennett closes his service for us, and we'll sing a hymn. We'll close with hymn 179. It'll be time for lunch, and we'll have a little instructions on what to do next and a few announcements. So let's close with hymn 179.
kind and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for all the many blessings we do receive of Thee. We thank Thee for the opening of our eyes of understanding to grasp the height and depth of Thy plan and Thy character, that we might walk in Thy ways and claim these precious present inheritance. We thank Thee for the brethren and seek Thy guidance over them as they walk this narrow way. And we thank Thee also for the temporal blessings and pray that it might nourish our bodies and help us further as we walk this narrow way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.